Today's Tuesday, so we're talking about a safer. I want to speak about an interesting one. I think it's the first English text that we have spoken about. It's somewhat inspired by this past Motzei Shabbos, somewhat inspired by last night, and I want to try to articulate what exactly we are talking about. The book we're talking about is written by Rabbi Hillel Goldberg. The topic, the name of the book is The Fire Within, The Living Heritage of the Mussar Movement. This is what we would call a foundational text. It's a very, very well-known safer put out by Art Scroll about 30 or so years ago, maybe more. Been reprinted a couple of times, and it's about the Mussar movement, and for many, many people who connect to Mussar, so they would attribute this sefer, written in English, to making the Mussar movement somewhat more accessible, being able to appreciate what it is in a very real way. Let me try and just give a little bit of an overview of certain sections of it, the sections I think are most relevant. As you see in the title, The Living Heritage of the Mussar Movement. So part of what Rabbi Goldberg suggests and describes very well are a variety of Bali Mussar-type figures who are alive and well. People who were not just that this is the world of Rabbi Saul Salanter of a long time ago, but there are living Bali Mussar that a person can learn from. He wrote this, when these people were alive. Some of them, unfortunately, have passed away. But at least the opening section deals not with Rabbi Saul Salanter, but with people who are currently alive. There's something here which is real, which a person can continue to tap into. But, and here's an important thing, what he really does is the idea of Mussar, I think, the word Mussar, as we sometimes use it, I think sometimes when people use the word Mussar, they refer to it more almost as like tochacha, a form of rebuke. Like he gave me, it was sharp Mussar, fire Mussar, or whatever it's said nowadays in different places. That there's something like very, very sharp and very, very biting. And those that we would consider he gave a great Mussar shmooze, what that means is sometimes he spoke in very sort of exaggerated terminology. Here's a person who spoke in a very, very strong kind of a way. He was impressively not nuanced in the way he related to particular issues. It was remarkable how unsophisticated he was in the way that he described that kind of person. And sometimes there's that kind of, sorry for the cynicism, and sometimes there's that kind of a thing. Mussar, at its core, but Goldberg describes this very well, it is here, the word also, it's a living heritage. It's a mesora. It's a particular orientation of the way that a person relates to texts, relates to themselves, relates to others, relates to Ribbono Shel Olam. A person can walk into a store and you can buy a Mesil Sisharim or a Shari Tshuva, you can buy an Orchos Tzadikim, you can buy an Ali Shor, you buy a lot of Svarim and learn them. It does not make one into one of the Bali Mussar. To be a Bali Mussar, it's definitional in many ways to who you are. It taps into a particular kind of orientation that a person has in the way that they are Oved Ribbono Shel Olam. So when a person is sitting down and learning Mussar, it's a particular Mahalach which is there. So by Rabbi Saul Salanter, early Bali Mussar, they established a Beis HaMussar. What that meant was that there's a regular Beis HaMedrash where people would go and they would learn their regular Gemara v'chulei, but there would be a separate location where you would go, dafka, to learn Mussar. It was a place where you would learn it bispalas, you'd learn it by sometimes repeating the same Maimer Chazal again and again and again. It's a place where you would reflect upon yourself and where you are really at, in a certain kind of introspection, a certain kind of cheshbon hanefesh. It was a place in which you'd be able to really focus. That was part of what the Bali Mussar, that Beis HaMussar. It was a particular methodology. The same way that that, say, brisk is a methodology to how to learn Gemara. That's a certain approach to how I look at a text and Rishonim. So Mussar, you're not a brisker if you learn Gemara. You're not a Bali Mussar if you learn Mesil Susharim. What makes you a Bali Mussar is, in many ways, the way in which you learn it and the way in which it then ends up impacting, your life. But Goldberg describes very well, some of the different schools of thought in the Bali HaMussar. There are, people like to describe different schools of thought in different ways, and often they're imprecise. Sometimes they're straight up wrong, and usually they're at minimum not as nuanced. To appreciate different worlds of Mussar, the world of Kelm and what Kelm contributed, and the world of Slabarka and the world of Nivardik, fixing some misconceptions, addressing some important ideas, all to give a little bit of insight in terms of the world of Mussar, the world of Mussar itself. It also, and here, different approaches to Mussar would emphasize different specific character traits or different specific ideas. So in some Bali Mussar, there'd be more of an emphasis on time. Goldberg referenced even about Shabbos in Kelm, the 5 minute Seder in Kelm. A Seder that was 5 minutes long, and the goal was to make the argument and to prove that in 5 minutes a day, if taken seriously and well, a person could accomplish a lot. The goal was those 5 minutes. The goal also was that those 5 minutes reflect and highlight for us what you could do in 5 minutes. So next time I look at a slot of time and I say I'm taking a couple minute break, if I value the 5 minutes, I'll approach it differently. The right cheshbon, but I'll approach it differently. So in Kelm, certain ideas like that, a certain kind of discipline, certain kind of consistency, a certain kind of focus. By Rabbi Yisrael, there's a lot about, and here's part of it also, he's addressing what he perceived as something which was lacking. That there were ideas in our religion that were not emphasized the same way. There were perspectives that were somewhat missing. Rabbi Yisrael, as an example, played up the significance of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. That it's very easy, a common phenomenon, that a person can be in yeshiva, and if they would assess where they are religiously, so I would assess where I am religiously based on how much I learn, based on my davening, based on my brachos, in many ways based on my, but adam lemakom is often a go-to for assessing where are you religiously. For Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, it's obviously not, there aren't mikoros that say, Ben Chaveiro doesn't matter, but it's restoring it to its proper place. Adam L'Chaveiro being definitional, telling, a healthy barometer for where you are, and it requires a lot of investment. Right, Goldberg points out there a very important yesod. Mayor Tversky used a similar idea in speaking about his mouth and his brother. There are words that we use, and the words that we use have particular connotations. So we use words like hasmada, to learn with diligence. We use words like bitachon, to have trust in Ribono Sha'olam. And when we use those words sometimes, they conjure up for us particular images or perspectives. So if Torskev, he said about his brother, when I say that my brother was a masmid, so we, in interpreting what the word masmid means, view it in the context of what do we associate hasmada with. So I used to ask Mazda with a guy that learns a lot in yeshiva. So I'll say, okay, I get it. I get what that masmid was. In truth, as Tversky pointed out, we may use the word hasmada, and it may trigger for us particular perspectives, but it's nothing compared to what a real total masmid may be. What a late Friday night, early Shabbos morning, what the intensity can look like, that sometimes the terms we use, but it's a weakness of language. It conjures up for particular perspectives, where in truth it may be much more powerful than that. But Goldberg suggests, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter spoke and emphasized a lot the midah of being a Baal Bitachon. And the idea of Bitachon, of trusting in Ribono Sha'olam, so maybe for us, when we conjure up perspectives of what Bitachon means, so for us, what's Bitachon? I trust in Hashem, have a bit of a shtadlus. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I believe, describes there, he passed away owning the clothing that he was wearing, his talis and tefillin. Those were the worldly possessions that he had. Not because people were not willing to support, not because he was, because that's how he functioned, that's how he lived. That was what he needed. That's all he wanted. He just trusted in Ribono Sha'olam. He trusted it. It's a particular mahalach where bitachon for him, it means something different. And part of the goal of the Baalei HaMusar, again, if you open a Gemara, you're not a brisker. If you open a Sfas Emes, it doesn't make you a Ger Chassid. The text that we learn is one thing. If, however, I approach it a particular way, I learn it in a particular style, I emphasize it, and I taste that, so it's a living heritage. It's something which, Tuto Kamashmo, can be transformative for what that is. For many people, this book, The Fire Within, was like a hakdama to that closed world of the Baalei HaMusar. What does it really look like to be a Baal Musar? What are the anecdotes that best express, here's a unique kind of amida of a Baal Musar, and what's the result of a Baal Musar? What does the pathway look like? And how do I become all the more excellent, all the more holy, all the more ideal as a result of that particular perspective and those particular orientations? He quotes a vort from the Baalei HaMusar. We say in the Kaddish Dirabanan that Al Rabanan, we say Al Talmideim Ve'Al Talmidei Talmidim. We say that's for the Rabbanim, for their Talmidim, and for their Talmidim's Talmidim. Some of the Baalei HaMusar wonder, okay, we're davening for the Rabbanan. I guess thinking about the Rabbanan. I guess thinking about their Talmidim, but why are we talking about their Talmidim's Talmidim? What's the Maila Ve'Talmidei Talmideon? What's going on there with the multiple steps? So Bali Musar explains something which is very real and very powerful, which they highlight in the context of Rabbi Shaul Salanter. There are Rebbeim who are wonderful. But sometimes, if I want to figure out just how good a Mahalach is, I don't just look at their Rebbeim, but there are times, again, whose Talmidim are definitely a factor, but sometimes I'll look at their Talmidim, okay? I can look sometimes at their Talmidim, I can reflect, I can learn based on their Talmidim something about them. But if you really want to know somebody as an excellent Mahalach, an excellent Mechanif, and who they really are, so sometimes you look at not just them, not just their Talmidim, but their Talmidim's Talmidim. That you can see the power of a Mahalach by seeing how does it play out in multiple steps. Rabbi Yisrael, Shaul Salanter, Talmidim, he had great Talmidim. He also started a movement. It was a movement that then transitioned into Slobodka Nevardit. It's a movement which then led to Rav Yerucham in Mir and Rav Wolbe here in Eretz Yisrael. It's a movement which led, and it's Davka looking at the products of that, looking at products of Slobodka, the Rav Aaron Kullers, the Kamenetskis, the Rav Rudermans of the world, the giants who have been there, where one can detect not just was it good, but what did it produce? And what did the people it produced, what did they produce? So what are the rayas to Rav Yisrael? So the rayas to Rav Yisrael is I walk into yeshivas all over the world and I see the impact of what did they produce, the greatness and the excellence. And in many ways, those that want to get a little bit of an orientation, of understanding what that world of Musar is like, it's not necessarily by opening a Mesiyos Hasharim, a Shari Tshuva, an Orchas Tzadikim, a Chovas Halavavos, an Olam Hamidos. It isn't just about that. If I don't know how to learn it, I don't know the orientation I should have towards it. I'm not thinking about the way I can really sort of like reflect upon myself and try to develop and try to grow. I may have bikiyas in Musar Sfarim, but I'm not yet a Baal Musar. And part of the goal here is to be a person to introduce that world of Musar, which is Baruch Hashem alive and well, which Baruch Hashem is very, very powerful, and be able to tap into that in a way which can be massively significant and massively important.